of trumpets would be October 1st. Okay, they start their civil calendar. Basically, harvest has happened, and now we're looking forward. October 1st hits. Now we're looking forward to the next year. Okay, and so the feast of what? The feast of trumpets. Okay, and so we're going to look at that next week. And I would maybe encourage you in some of your downtime. Do some research, and you can start in Leviticus 23. It's in there, and would encourage you to look over that. And so one of the things that we're going to add as well to that, some of these feasts and festivals include meals. Which one included a meal? Passover, exactly. It's around a whole meal, exactly. And so as we look at this year, we probably will have some of them maybe around meals. I don't know. But for next week, we're not going to have a meal. What we are going to do, though, is at 10 o'clock, 10 to 10:30, we're going to have snacks. We're going to have donuts and some healthy things, fruit or whatever. And you're going to see, and we'll connect why we're doing that to the festival as well. And so next week, set your alarm earlier. Come on in a little bit earlier. And so you can eat some snacks, but most of all, so you can connect with one another. Every time I do the greeting time, it's always to try to get you back, and your attention back is very difficult. So you like being together. Next week, just come a little bit earlier, okay? And so from 10 to 10:30, we'll have things that will be there, okay? And so in thinking about the Feast of Trumpets. And so we're going to do something here to just kind of open that up and or what that's going to look like. Obviously, during the Feast of Trumpets, they would play trumpets. Yeah, pretty natural, okay? And we'll talk about the different types next week, the reasons for them. So you have your card. If you don't have a card, like some of you maybe were in here before you came through the door, we have cards sitting here in the front and in the back. And so what this is, what we want you to do is, many of you, I think most of you, the majority of you are reading through the Bible, or you committed at least to reading 30 days every day of reading Scripture. And so this card is to take just what is one thing, what is from your reading over the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever we're at, what is one thing that God has impressed on you, showed you, spoke to you? You can just write a sentence or two. Do not put your name on it, okay? If you want to put a chapter and a verse, you can, you know, you get extra points, you know, if you do that, you know. But you can do that, but you don't have to do that, okay? And so we're going to give you a few moments to do that here. And while we do that, we're gonna play a song. It's a song by, that's a trumpet playing this song. I think you will recognize the song, and so you can worship during the song, How Great Thou Art. I think most of us know that song, and you're going to hear it. And so part of this is to think about the Lord, how great he is, but also to give you a few moments. There are pens in the seats. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit, and some of you might be like, hey, there's some wrappers in here. Yeah, because people think that they're garbage cans too, but that's all right. There are pens in the seats around you, and what we want you to do is at least start. Write something on there. Or if you can't think about it right now, take this with you this week, and write something on there and bring it back next week. We do not want your name on it. Okay, and so we don't have all things planned, but the idea next week will be to read some of these, to hear what God is saying within the body of Christ. And so we're going to read through some of them next week. And so that's why we do not want your name. So any of you who are saying, I'll never get up front, no way, I'll never do it. You don't have to. You can share by just putting, what is God doing in your heart? What's God doing in your life? Okay? Does that make sense? Am I clear enough what we're doing? All right, so we're going to play this song, give you a few moments just to be quiet, be still. All right, so later when we receive the offering, you can go ahead and stick it in there if you would like, or you can hold on to it, bring it next week. I know what it is to process. We were at dinner one of the nights this week, and one of the kids said, "Hey, let's play two truths and a lie." And they said, "Well, Dad, you go first." And I said, they stared at me, and I said, "I need a piece of paper." It took me 10 minutes to come up with those things. So I get sometimes where someone asks you to something, and you can't get it right away. So we want to give you time to do that. And so take time this week to do that. So we've been praying through our kingdom partners, and so we're going to do our regional partners today, as well as I'm going to pray for one of the churches in the community, the Nazarene Church. Bob, I forget Bob's last name, Pastor Bob. He's the pastor there, so I'm going to pray for him as well. I'm going to actually have Dave pray for Little Mahoning as we go, but I'm going to start. So we'll just take a few moments and let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are faithful, Lord. God, we thank you that you have a presence in this community. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work, that you have burdened people's hearts. God, to hear what it is that you want them to do, to help people see you for who you are. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for Family Life Radio, Lord, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through the airwaves, that they are playing songs that bring glory to Christ, Lord, that they have speakers that are communicating the Word of God to be an encouragement, God, to the body of Christ. And so, God, I thank you for Family Life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Baptist Resource Network, Lord, that they are partnering with churches, Southern Baptist churches here in Pennsylvania, Lord, to resource, to not go it alone. And so, Father, we thank you for them and just the presence that they are. Dave, why don't you go ahead and pray for Little Mahoning?
Father, we thank you for the Little Mahoning Bible Camp. We thank you for the generations that have been reached with the good news of generations of children that camp has been able to minister to. Lord, we thank you for Bruce and for the work he does there as far as administering the camp, Lord. And we pray for our upcoming event where we as a body can give back a little bit, Lord. Help us as a body to bless them and to make their job easier, and to make their load a little lighter, Lord. Help us work together to continue the ministry that is done there.
God, I thank you for Bob and just his ministry, Pastor Bob at the Nazarene Church, Lord. And God, I pray that you would just continue to guide him, God, when he preaches this morning, God, that you would use his heart and life, God, that you would help him to his relationship with you would be honest and truthful, and just his time in your word would be meaningful. God, whatever you're doing in his heart. And God, we just pray for the Nazarene Church, Lord. It's just you've planted them here in this community, Lord. And so we thank you for them. God, I thank you for the young ladies, for Abby and Lauren and Leah and Victoria that are up at Word of Life this weekend at their young adult weekend. God, I pray that as they finish up their time, that would go well. Guide them, give them safety as they drive from New York back here this afternoon and this evening. And Father, we just thank you for just all the things that are before us, and that you are faithful, that you are enough. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to, last week and this week, we're gonna read through the other Revelation chapter 22. And so we talked about the bookends. Last week we looked at Genesis 1 and 2, the beginning. Jesus Christ was there at the beginning In the beginning, God created. Where is Jesus? Right there he is. The four words. And so Genesis chapter 1 is the first bookend, and there's much more there about Jesus Christ the Messiah. And so that's how God started. Today we're going to look at the very end of the book, Revelation 21 and 22. We read through Revelation 21, and now, so you don't fall asleep, we're going to read through this one together. And so we're going to bring it up on the screen. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 21. We're going to get there, but we're going to read together off of the screen, okay? And so we're going to start there, all right? So we're going to read responsively. I'll read a verse, you read a verse, and we'll go back through and get down through the verses that are here, okay? You ready? Anybody asleep? If they are, just give them a nice elbow in the gut. Well, a nice elbow, a loving elbow. All right, I'll start. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him.
They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads.
And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.
I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me.
But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God."
And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.
Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates.
Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come," and the one who is thirsty, "Come." Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, I will add to him the place described in this book.
And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book.
He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Amen. So there's a lot in here, both of these chapters. We are not going to look at all the details. We don't have time to do that. But guess what? You can do that this week, or you can do that over the coming weeks. I would encourage you to do that. And so, hopefully you're there in your Bible. Like I said, during this month, we're encouraging you, open up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have them back there in the back. Go grab one. We're not going to bring it up on the screen, just so that you're looking in your own Bible and seeing that, hey, this isn't Steve's words or something else. So there's 48 of you, at least, that I know of, that are reading through the Bible this year. And I was blown away when I read the list the first week. And that's very, very exciting. And so this week, you were either in reading about Joseph in the book of Genesis, or you were reading the book of Job, okay? Two different approaches. But either way, both stories are ones of pain and trouble and suffering. Job was a righteous man, and Joseph was a righteous man as well. But did that prevent them from having hardship in their life? Absolutely, positively not. And so that's where we see Genesis 1 and 2, God did not create the world with pain and suffering. Humanity created that. When we said, God's not real, he didn't really mean that. We created that. And so we live our lives, and really the whole Bible, we have, you know, these are four chapters. The rest of the Bible is the in-between part. And so this is one of the truths as well, that the truth is that the righteous do suffer. They do. If you're going to follow God, you're going to suffer in this world. But God has a purpose behind it. He knows what he's doing. And so the book of Revelation is written to the church in the first century. The church in the first century were experiencing great persecution, saying, I follow, you know, I'm a Christian. That's not a term like we use it. When they said, I'm a Christian, I'm a little Jesus Christ, when someone identified themselves that way, their life just got harder because the world didn't like that. And so the book of Revelation, God, Jesus is revealing it to John to write it to the church in the first century to give them encouragement, to give them hope, to put their suffering in perspective of the bigger picture. And so he's helping them to see that. But the very end of the book, these last two chapters, if you look look in 21 verse 5, I think that's one of the key verses in here. And really, that's kind of the big idea of the sermon this morning is this verse. He says, verse 5, Revelation 21 verse 5, and he who was seated on the throne said, who is that? Who is seated on the throne? Jesus Christ is. The one who walked on planet Earth, who was brutally killed, he was put into a tomb, 3 days later, he rose again for the next 50 days. There's actually a feast attached to that. Anybody know what that feast is? Well, we'll get later, but there is a feast. We'll get to it. And they're on the Mount of Olives, and what does Jesus do? He just starts going up in the air because he's going back home. And Revelation tells us where he is at. He just told us. He is seated on the throne. And so we need to keep that in mind. No matter what we see in this world, Jesus is still seated on his throne. He is in complete control. No matter how bad it ever gets, and again, the book of Revelation shows that, you know what? Today is nothing compared to the way it's going to be, right? We've seen fires. Is it bad? Yes. We mourn with that. It's going to get worse. Way more than just a community being burned. And so we're going to see that. But the point that, and we just, we our starting place here is that Jesus Christ is victorious. He is seated on his throne. And now look what he says next. Behold, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. And so that's kind of really the point of this morning, is that Jesus Christ will make all things new. He's not going to refurbish them. He's not going to restore them. He's going to make them new. And if you turn back to verse 1, he described that, 21 verse 1. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And so as you read through this, I know, you know what? We feel like, oh, what is he talking about? And if you're feeling that, that's normal, because God is telling us about things that we don't really understand. We don't really get it. But what we do know is that he is being truthful, and what we do know is that we have hope. And what we do know as believers in Jesus Christ, we will experience it. One day. One day we will. And so he's saying here that Jesus, part of his resurrection is that part of his plan is to create a new heaven and a new earth. How many of you like new things? How many of you like old things? How many of you would rather have a new thing than an old thing? How long does it take a new thing to become an old thing? All right, I wasn't even planning that. So some of you are wondering, why did I bring my bike in here? Maybe you didn't see it. I don't know. But so this is, I had it actually this sitting here before, and I said, that's a little bit obnoxious. We'll put it off, and we'll put it up front. So this is the very first new bike I ever had. I was probably 22 years old, 23 years old. Never had a new bike when I was little. I had a bike. This is the first new one I ever bought. And I thought, you know what? Someone gave me a mountain bike, and I was starting to get into mountain biking as a junior high youth pastor and really enjoyed it. And so I was a single guy, and I said, you know what? I'm going to spend a lot of money, spend over $1,000 on a bike, and it was my first new bike. And so a couple days after that, my parents were going down to the Outer Banks at the beach. It was in May. I don't remember the year. I'm not exactly sure. And I got my brand-new bike, and I'm like, phew. I'm going to take it with me. And so I put it on the back of my car and go down to the Outer Banks and hanging out with family and all that. And so it was kind of underneath the house, you know, in the garage area or wherever it was. And the one night there was this big windstorm and sand's blowing everywhere. And, we're not beachfront, but we're near the beach. And by the end of the week, I looked at my new bike and I'm like, man, the metal is... it's looking weathered. I didn't even have a scratch on it yet. And my new bike is looking messed up. And I'm thinking, why did I ever bring my new bike to the beach? That was the dumbest decision I ever made. So it didn't take long for my new bike to look weathered. Still didn't have a scratch on it. I remember the first scratch that I got, and I had this thought. Steve, I don't know why you're bummed about getting a scratch. If you have a mountain bike, you're going to get a scratch on your bike. Or unless you're going to keep it in the house all the time. And so I had to let that go. But I share that as an example because it gives us a picture. There's nothing that I could do to make this bike new again. We could repaint it. We could do all kinds of things. But there's nothing that I could do to make this bike new. And so that's the example of what Jesus isn't going to do. He is not going to take this earth and heaven and refurbish it. What he says is he's going to create a new one. He's going to make a new one. And one that is going to be different in one sense, because his creation will know his kindness and his grace. It's going to be one of the things that's going to be different. So he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Look in verse 2. He tells us he's not just going to create a new heaven and earth, but he's going to create a new city. Verse 2, he says, "And I saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And so Jesus is not just going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to create a new Jerusalem, a new city, unlike the old one. Did Jerusalem follow God? Sometimes, but for the most part, they didn't. But this new Jerusalem is going to be different, not just because of the beauty of it, but also because of those that inhabit it. And so he gives that picture. He helps us see. And so what is it about a city? Well, city is where people are. You know what the truth is? When we're in eternity, we're not going to say things like, I just want to be alone. I just want to be by myself. I just want to live off the grid. I don't want to live in the city. You'll never say those things. You will enjoy the Lord and you will enjoy one another. And so we see this New Jerusalem. And again, we could spend more time on all these things. We're given a description. The worship team read through that. Verses 9 through 21 gives us a description of the unbelievable beauty and magnificence of what God is going to make. You know, we see a sunset on this earth at times. Or you know, think about what's the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen on this earth. And it's beautiful. But you know what? It's marred and marked by sin. It's not complete. And so if we see beauty here when it's marred by sin, can you imagine what seeing creation will be like when that will be taken away? When we will see creation the way God created it to be. And so what we're really saying is the most beautiful thing in this world won't even come close to what beauty really is, what God is really like. And so we'll see that. So, but in this, the whole focus, and I think one of the things that we see, God is not so interested in the externals of things. He's very interested about the personalness. And so if when he said here in verse 2, he talks about the new Jerusalem. How does he describe it? He describes it coming down out of heaven as a bride. He gives this picture to us because God is about relationship. God is about, that's all that he wants. He wants to be with humanity. He wants to be with you. And so we see that picture of an exclusive relationship. That's what marriage is. It's an exclusive relationship between one man and one woman. That's what on the humanity side. Because it's supposed to be a picture to us of the exclusivity that God wants with us. He doesn't want to be shared. He's enough. He's holy. And so we can see that. And so he gives us that picture. Well, for those of you who maybe aren't married and you're like, I don't really understand. I hear that, but I don't really understand. He gives us another picture. Look in verse 3. He says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" So what does it sound like he's describing there? He's describing a father to a child relationship. It's close. And so that's what he's saying here. And so that's really the most part that we're going to spend is that Jesus will create a new relationship. What will that relationship be like? Well, he just told us one thing. Verse 4, he tells us what it's going to be like. I mean, listen to this and think about this in a personal way. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, this is what a father really, this is what a perfect, righteous father is like and what he does. He is intimately engaged with his children. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And so what is he saying here? Part of the new heaven and the new earth, part of eternity, is that there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. We will have a perfect, intimate, personal, truthful relationship with God himself. And I love the picture here. He will wipe away every tear. He's doing that personally. And so that's the picture that he gives. He wants a new relationship. It's a relationship of holiness. And I said it a moment ago. It's exclusivity. God won't share you with someone else. It's really about what holiness is. Look down in verse 27. He says it this way. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so those that will be personally there with Christ are those that have faith in Jesus Christ. You're not trusting in your own goodness, because when we're really honest about ourselves, we know that our goodness won't get us there. And so there's a holiness. And holiness and beauty go together. They go together. Something's going to be missing from this relationship, this new relationship. What's going to be missing from this new relationship? Sin. And all that goes along with that. And so the barriers that are there in our relationship with God now will be gone. But even more, the barriers that are there between one another, horizontally, they're gone too. Look down in verse 22. It says part of this, verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. So what is it? What is a temple? Just generally speaking, what's a temple? You know, I mean, every religion has a temple, right? Why do you go to the temple? You go to worship. That is the place you go to really meet the divine, right? And whatever you're, so that's what you do. In the new heaven and earth, there won't be a temple. Why not? We don't need to, because we will be fully with God completely. We don't need a temple. It's not needed anymore. Who in here hates the morning? Who dislikes the morning? When your alarm goes off, you want to just get a sledgehammer out and pound it. Who in here dislikes the night, the evening? I do. I'm a morning person. So these two perspectives here, I think, give us perspective. Guess what? We're all going to be happy in eternity. Look at verse 23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So what's gone? He lights. The light comes from God himself. And we saw this in Genesis 1, verse 3, right? What did God create first? God said, let there be light. And we learned last week, it wasn't until day 4 that he made the sun, moon, and all those things. It's the perspective of us. And so what is he saying here? He's saying that, you know what? Mornings are going to be over. We're just going to be all the way it is. We're just going to be with God all the time. So some of you are like, okay, what about the night thing? Look down in, is it verse 25? Verse 25. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. So there's no morning, and there's no night. We're just going to be with God all the time. So there is hope. If you don't like mornings, and you don't like nights, there is hope. They will come to an end. And so what is the point in all this? That Jesus Christ, it's all about him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the A and the Z. He is the start and he is the finish. And so that's what he's saying here. That's the point that he's making, that Christ will make all things new. He'll make all things new. So three areas of application. What does this mean to us? I think the first thing, the song that we sang, it gives us hope. It gives us hope. That he is going to make things new. It's going to be better than our best day on earth. You hear people say that, oh, remember the good old days. We're always looking back. No, the best days are looking forward. By far. Times a trillion. And add even more on top of that. And so we have hope. And again, we say that word hope. Our hope is grounded to God, the promise keeper. And so it's sure. Our hope isn't this willy-nilly. Well, I heard that sermon, but man, I just hope it all works out. No, that's not hope. That's not hope. Hope is, it's done. We just got to live it out. And it's done because it rests on who God is. He is the faithful promise keeper. It rests on him, not us, not our circumstances. Our hope rests on him. And so we have hope. And you know what? Hopefully, wherever you go this week, you share hope. Do you share hope? Or when people are sharing, oh man, I'm really struggling about that. I mean, you want to listen and be sensitive, but do you give them hope? Do you have hope? I mean, if it's not coming from us, then yeah, this world's in bad shape. But we have hope. Let's share that hope. There's a warning here. There's a warning here, 22 verse 11. What's the warning? Look at what he says here, verse 11. He says, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. A couple months ago, our family was going through the book of Revelation as a family, and the one night that we got to this, my kids looked at me and said, Pastor Dad, well, they didn't say that. They said, what does that mean? And I looked him in the eyes and I said, I have no idea. Because I didn't. I have no idea what it means. But I said, I'll get back to you. And I did get back to him. And I'm getting back to you. So what is he saying here? He He's basically saying, you know what? Some of you are walking in evilness. And if you don't apply this, that's where you're going to end up. But you don't have to. You don't have to keep being evil. You don't have to keep living your life disconnected from the living God of the universe. If you put this into practice, then you'll have eternal life. And so that's what he's saying. It's a warning. Don't just listen to, and I hear this all the time, oh, I want to study Revelation. I want to get into all the details. The point of Revelation is Jesus Christ. It's not all the details of all the, there's so much mystery in the book. It's about Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of him. If you're not knowing Jesus Christ more intimately every day when you read your Bible, then what's the point? Now, I'm not saying every day you get new things. Hey, there's a faithfulness to it. But it's a warning here. It's a warning. I mean, he says it in here. Look in verse 8, or 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, he gives us a list. And again, he's writing to the first century. But as for the cowardly, the faithful, the detestable, for murderers, the sexually immorals, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. He said, warning! Warning, you don't have to go there. You don't have to experience that if you give your life to Christ. It says in 21, verse 27, we read it, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. He's writing these for warnings. 22, verse 15. Outside, talking about the city here, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So he's writing as a warning. Do you want the truth? It's available. What did Jesus say in this chapter? We read in 21:5. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true. And so there's a warning here. And so Zion, way to go that you're committing to reading through the Bible this year. Those of you, some of you are committing to 30 days. Amen. You're on the right path. Keep going. Just because we're middle of January, don't give up. Leviticus is coming. Don't give up. We're going to get through it together. Let's not give up. So the last application here, 22 verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Jesus Christ will give justice. Every wrong, everything that has gone on, he will bring justice. Everything that you're thinking right now in your life, well, I don't know about, he will bring justice. He will. And so what do we need to do as believers? Let God be God. Your hurts and your pains and the things that have gone on in your life, they're real. Take them to the Lord. He's much better at justice than we are because he knows the truth. No one will get away with sin. That's just the truth. No one will get away with sin. And again, we don't have to read this and be all fearful. We don't have to be all scared. Why not? Who are we covered in as believers? Who are we covered in? Jesus Christ. When God sees Steve Cornball, he sees Jesus Christ. We have nothing to be fearful of. We rest in him. We rest in him. So I'm going to invite the worship team. This next song speaks about that. Jesus the Messiah. Let's worship him. Let me pray. God, I will give him a minute to get up here. God, we thank you so much for just the truthfulness that you give us here. You give us hope. God, we know how the story ends. We know what you're going to do. You give us enough to know and enough to have hope. And so, God, help us to live it out. Help us to worship you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom for Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Lord of all I hope is in you. All I hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all.
Lord, you do have the name that is above all names. We thank you. You are the Lord of all. Amen. All right, as we sing this last song, we're going to pass the offering bowls around. And feel free to put your white cards that you filled out in there if you are finished with them. If you're not, like we said, that's okay. If you need a couple weeks, you can write as much on that sheeted piece of paper as you like. So we're going to close out with one more song. Again, I'm talking about the Father's kingdom is coming, right? He says soon. We don't know what that means, but someday we'll be there. And so we're going to sing about that.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us. As we forgive the ones who've sinned against us. Forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours,
it's yours,
all yours, all yours, forever.
God is building his kingdom. You know, one of our kingdom partners is in Cairo, Egypt, and Sarah and Ryan are leading.